Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 19th of February, recording at 9 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, what's going on here today in this interesting day? Well, let's start with stock markets. In Asia, they were mostly steady, although China fell 1.6% in the Shanghai Composite index, mainland index, and the Hong Kong HSI also fell back fairly sharply. Now, there was a China Business News report that the nation may be introducing more policies to curb property prices, and that appears to be the main catalyst. But we also had the disappointing performance yesterday after the week Chinese New Year holiday during the previous week, and so a little bit of a downward dynamic. The last time that happened, the day afterwards, which was a couple of months ago, but the day afterwards, then China surged back upwards, and if we got downside follow-through in China tomorrow to any extent, that would suggest that maybe we were losing uptrend consistency and going to see a longer sort of ranging phase overall. Now, elsewhere, Japan reasonably steady, but the yen is in a tight range here against the U.S. dollar. And that actually it's slightly firmer than the U.S. dollar in here today, so we may need to see some further weakness in the yen to cause Japan to strengthen further. And again, we couldn't be too surprised if we saw a longer pause and reaction and consolidation phase after the very strong earlier gains. Now, interestingly, in Europe, we had a revival of confidence here. Some big gains today. The German DAX up 1.6, French CAC up 1.8, the Euro Stoxx 50, that's up 1.7. They're all pretty good. Italian, 1.5%. So good solid gains in Europe. I think Super Mario Draghi had been uttering some reassuring words, and some bond yields had gone reasonably well without driving rates up, and that added to those views. But it was also timely because Europe had been underperforming, and there were more concerns about Europe, and we've got this election coming. Is it on Sunday? Saturday? I think it's over the weekend in Italy, and there had been some nervousness about that. But we had some upward dynamics in Europe today, and so they'd need to take out their recent lows to indicate a deeper setback and correction. And if Europe can consolidate in a relatively narrow range, as it has earlier on in its recovery, that would be a good overall indication. Now, what else did I mention? Mexico? I don't think so, but Mexico, which had been an outstanding performer pretty much all of last year and at the beginning of this year, but had, like Europe, it had one of the somewhat bigger setbacks, but it also checked that decline with a reasonable upward dynamic here today. Wall Street's firm, the S&P, is pushed up. It's currently trading near 1530. And up 0.65%. So extending those gains overall. And again, Canada also firmer, just off 1% to the upside. So steady action there. Now, in bond markets, we have a pretty soft performance by the U.S. Treasuries and the U.K. gilts. That's been the case, of course, for several months now. And undermining some of the confidence of all the of what's been a very crowded trade within a very crowded trade here, with so many pension funds and other institutional investors having piled into those low-yielding, long-dated government bonds. So they haven't seen anything in the way of a significant technical rally after several months of weakness. Where we've seen the somewhat better rallies be in the Australian bonds government. I'm talking about now these bond futures. And also we've seen a firmer tone in the German bunds, and also the Japanese bonds, but they're, you know, none of those are threatening their highs, and they probably won't overall. But at least they've got something that can be identified as a reasonable technical rally. Now, in my overall view on this, as you know, and I've been saying it for months, is that we've got a massive bubble, the big bubble in the world of financial markets here today is very definitely in those long-dated government bonds by virtue of their 31-year-plus move downwards in yields and the technical action that we have seen in recent months, despite the support buying by the U.S. Federal Reserve and also the Bank of England. Now, in the commodity markets, mixed action here. The base metals have been soft again today, and we had a downward dynamic today in copper, which has checked what has been a very rangy upside move that we've seen overall. And I suspect that that probably has some sort of linkage to the China story on property, although some people were also saying that maybe the U.S. property market, which has seen a recovery in recent months, it might have gotten a little bit ahead of itself. The precious metals losing for the second consecutive day their upward ranging upward momentum that they had seen. Precious metals, well, it's a similar story here. We've got palladium and platinum really quite firm here. Palladium currently trading up over 10 at 763. We've got platinum trading at 1690.94. So steady action here overall, and everybody's commenting on the fact that there are supply problems, which there are. It's an old story. It's one that's been mentioned in Fuller Money on numerous occasions over the last many months as a probability, because the palladium mostly comes from Russia and I believe South Africa is still the biggest producer of platinum. But gold and silver have again gone in the opposite direction. We've got silver breaking below that $30 level. It's down to $29.38 right now, and that's actually moved it a little bit below last month's reaction low. Gold, where everybody seems to be, or so many people seem to be, talking bears here, particularly those from the hedge funds in gold. So there's a build up of short positions. You can be certain of that, and I think it's the biggest short position. I saw some statistic saying that maybe in 12 months. That's probably true. But gold fell down early this afternoon in UK time, fell down to that 1600 level, but held just above Friday's low, and then recovered part of that, or at least half that decline. It's currently trading now just below 1605, so it's down $5.10 here today. It's pretty oversold, as is silver on a technical basis. The divergence between these two is interesting. And for the time being, people have decided that gold is only bought by people who want to hedge against the Armageddon type situation. That's one reason why perhaps people buy gold. But I think what we've got some momentum trading here on the part of the on the part of the hedge funds. So it's oversold, but we still don't have any clear evidence that it's about to reverse back to the upside beyond that oversold condition. In other words, there's no upside dynamic in the gold and silver markets. And I chopped my two positions, which were in gold and silver. And it pained me to do it, but I'd held on rather stubbornly while the thing was ranging lower in here. And one of the reasons why I sold is because I had said to myself that if I had mostly burned up the profits that I made, the quite good profits that I made, you remember that rally last, it seems like a long time ago now, but it was actually last August when gold and the others just took off and gold ran up to $1,800. And at that time, I was long gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, and which made me a little bit overconfident. I thought gold would be safer, so I leveraged up on that more, and that was the error, because platinum and palladium have remained stronger, as we know. But so where are we going here? Gold is questioning its uptrend consistency for sure. It is very oversold in the short term, lots of short positions in there, but it's still all for the bulls to prove. Here, I think we're not far off a technical rally, but might we get a further sell-off to the downside? I think that's the risk. But I had an email here today with someone saying, "Look, I don't have a leveraged position. I've been holding gold for 5 years. I'm well in the money, but wanted to know what you actually thought." And really, if it takes out the range lows, it would look clearly like a top, as I think Owen also mentioned on Monday. On Friday, in that big picture audio. So that's down around 1522. At this stage, the question is the 1600 level going to hold for gold, or will we dip a little bit into the previous lows for the overall sideways range? I'd be more pessimistic if platinum and palladium were not performing, again, say a loss of overall uptrend consistency. Soybeans were up quite sharply here today after quite a soft period for several weeks. The news was demand increasing from China, and there is also some concern over insufficient rain in Argentina. But overall, more of these commodities are drifting down than moving higher, and that CCI index, which I posted yesterday, has moved a little lower here overall. Elsewhere in currencies, I'd covered the yen, which is a little easier here today. And that's really been the main story. The Canadian dollar has slipped a little bit. The U.S. dollar is against the Canadian is now up to just over 101, having spent quite a bit of time below the 100 level. And last but not least, in terms of stock markets, we've got a lot of overextensions, as you know, relative to the moving averages among the leading markets. But I think there's still a hopeful case here that we just see sideways ranging reaction and consolidation activity. But that could easily last for a few more weeks overall. And we're not out of this phase here yet, but it looks more like famous last words, the healthy correction, than one of those falling sandbags that we've seen over the last few years. And on that note, all the best to all of you.